Thanks for listening in to this episode of Power Lunch. The FM Power Lunch is an opportunity for us to talk about how our faith can go to work. We explore ideas by interviewing different people and learning from others about how our faith and work intersect. We're glad that you can listen in and hope that you'll join us in person sometime. Learn more at bethelfc.com/powerlunch. One of the things that's fun for Andrew and I, we've known each other for a number of years, but Andrew, go ahead, introduce us. Tell us who you are, because not everybody here will know you, and we'd love to hear your story. Who's Andrew?
Well, first off, excited to be here and hopefully explain a little bit of how God's worked in my life, my family's life, kind of through tragedy. Christ is always there. A little bit about myself, first and foremost, my better half, my wife Hannah. We've been married for several years, and then I got little son AJ here as well, and then a 10-day-old daughter Savannah. So they are the prides and joy of my life, and nothing else matters other than that. So a little bit about the police department side. I've been at the Fargo Police Department for about 9 years. I have a multitude of jobs, SWAT negotiator, training officer, different roles within the police department, but now I'm a school resource officer down at Davies High School, so that's kind of the new role there. And then both my wife and I are in the military, the Air National Guard together. So I've been doing that 11 years and been on 3 deployments over that time. So
you've been a busy man.
Yeah, very busy.
And you're a servant. And I love that about you. You know, recently you did an interview with Raleigh Johnson, our friend up at First Lutheran, and you shared about how you experienced a bit of an identity shift over the last few years. Can you share about that?
Yeah, I would say law enforcement's a very unique career path, very similar to the military, where it starts to maybe become an identity. A lot of times you'll hear that it's someone's calling. Where that can be difficult is when I was maybe a 1 or 2 year officer, being a police officer was everything that I was. There was times where I got yelled at for working too many hours at the police department because we have a policy, you can't work over 16 hours, and I was there for 22 hours. And it became, You have this servant heart and you want to serve. And I think that idea of being in law enforcement gives you that ability. But I think the biggest shift for me is once me and my wife got married and having a kid, your priorities start to realign. And I'm so thankful for that. Christ is always kind of the highest priority. And then my family falls into line. And then the police department under that. The reason I talk about that aspect is because going through tragedy, going through the shooting, getting shot multiple times, if being a police officer was everything that I was, if Christ had fallen lower than that, your whole life can crumble. It can feel like, who am I? What am I? Where to move forward? So just like all of you guys, over time, we kind of learn, we adapt, we go through things. And so that was kind of my journey. My police department was my identity early on, and now I'm so much more than that, and I'm a child in Christ.
I love that about you, man. There's so many places you and I could go in a conversation. And so I thought we'd start somewhere lighthearted. I just learned that through the Bundy family, that's my last name, we've helped generate some Fargo police policy. Can you help explain that?
Yeah, I think I've never actually sat down and told him the whole story, but his 12-year-old son came on a ride-along with me. It would have been probably close to 7 years ago now. We probably could have realized that it wasn't going to go right when the 12-year-old came on a ride-along on Halloween night. So things...
That was the first step.
The first step that went wrong. Yep. And uniquely, about a year later, the Fargo Police Department changed our policy, and now you got to be 18 to ride along. As you hear the story, you'll understand why. Jonas Bundy's son was on the ride-along. We were on a physical domestic, and at that point, they could all come into the apartment with us. So he was watching this all happen and had a big smile. None of us were smiling. He was taking it all in and trying to understand what was happening. And then... within a few seconds, we all wear earpieces. We got a call that there was an armed robbery at the Royal Liquors on Main Avenue. And the suspect had put a gun to the clerk's head, and we were getting all that information as it was happening. And so we ran out of the apartment, just started running. I forgot I had a ride-along, and I looked back, and he's sprinting down the hall as fast as he could. And I just specifically remember the car was shaking, and I don't think it was the engine. I think it was his son shaking because he knew what we were going to. He could hear all the dispatches and the kind of the severity of the call. I specifically remember dropping him off at the corner right by our 25th Street station and just said, you know, call your parents. And he yelled out, I don't have a cell phone. And I just took off. So Good news is I went back about 2 hours later after the robbery, and he was picked up by someone. I don't know if it was a parent. So. But it really meant a lot to me. I went to his graduation party about a year ago now, and on kind of his milestones for his life, that was one of them on there. And so it's amazing those sort of interactions, how it can positively impact. So
yeah, you never know how you're going to impact a kid's life.
Yeah, good or bad.
Yeah. The other side of that is mom was less excited. It was really cute because Grover went to the main lobby area and he pushed the button, you know, like you would push during the normal day, and dispatch said, "Who are you and what's going on?" And yeah, it was a cute story. And so thank you for sharing that. Yeah. We love you, Andrew. You and Hannah have just been so gracious to us and love how you influence us. You know, Hannah was sharing even recently, you know, your influence to young people continues. Do you mind sharing that story of you get back on the force, was it in February? And
yes, sir.
You get a distressed call, and what happened? And how has God used that?
Yeah, I think young adults have kind of been near and dear to my heart. I've been in law enforcement long enough to know that like adult behavior is so difficult to change. You can arrest someone one night and you'll probably see them back the next night. But the reality is what I've seen is youth, whether it's middle school, high school, even elementary school, you can have one positive interaction and that can change the trajectory of where they go. And as I've gotten further in my career, I just realized all the pursuits and all the, you know, exciting calls, those will kind of fade away. But what won't fade away is the impact, the mentorship aspect. The call that he's talking about was just probably a couple months ago. There was a young adult that was trying to jump off the 52nd Avenue Bridge. And was in pretty dire distress. And with my role as the SWAT negotiator, I got called out there and had the opportunity to connect with him. Eventually, we talked him off the bridge, which was the blessing. But I think where Christ has worked the most in that situation is the ability where I've gotten to follow up with him several times and not just say, "Hey, we got you out of that one situation," but how do we prevent that happening long term? And so I've been really grateful that the parents have kind of been on board with me jumping in on that mentorship and kind of encouraging him along the way.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, that's one of God's obvious fruit of what's happened in your life. One of the tensions I felt coming into today, we're 24 years out from 9/11. Mm. So some of us were feeling that. Yesterday's shooting of Charlie Kirk just weighs really heavy on some of the folks here. And I purposely chose not to play the video from July 14th. Yeah. You know, and you guys have received a lot of attention. Take us back, maybe at whatever level you're comfortable with, but take us back to where you look back and you see, wow, God put that in place for the provision of my life and the opportunity I have now to be a blessing to him and for him.
I think what stands out to me is I was in Bible study fellowship, it was last year, and we were going over the book of John. And a lot of times when we read the book of John, we start to learn who Jesus is. You can actually put a face to it. You can put his personality. But a lot of times I put myself in that role and say, wow, if I could just see those miracles take place, how could you not believe? How could the people around him not believe? Well, God's looked at me and through my situation, and those miracles are so vivid, they're so clear that it's, for me, it's how do you not believe? It's impossible not to. Kind of going back to the July 14th incident, there were so many miracles that took place that day that if you're not a Christian, I think you could look at one or two and say, that's a coincidence. You know, you're very lucky. You're a lucky guy. I would say I'm a lucky guy, but I'm also a son of Christ, and I'm so thankful for that. Whether it was, you know, there being four police officers on scene on a simple traffic accident. In my career, I've never had four officers on scene. Well, we needed all four that day. Whether it was the fire department being there because someone complained of their finger being dislocated, the fire department was right on scene and there to help us. So you kind of add some of those together. Whether it was one of the gunshots hitting me directly in the chest, and 2 weeks prior, our chief approved rifle-rated plates for our chest. You start to look at all those things and you just say, like, God was at work. Even through tragedy, he's in those situations. Or whether it was one of the rounds hitting my holster and blowing the trigger off my gun, but preventing the bullet from going into my body. You look at a lot of those things, and maybe I will say in the moment, not being able to get my gun out of the holster felt like the worst, most tragic thing. but God had a bigger plan than I did in that situation. So what it has given me through your question is I've gotten to see the miracles firsthand. And what I've been encouraged by is initially after the shooting, I maybe didn't feel I wanted to talk about it. I didn't know how to talk about it. But what I've looked at here is if others can look at the situation as kind of credibility, and then I can point it all back to Christ, I hope that you guys can see some of these miracles and see that Christ is at work. And it doesn't always need to be a shooting, right? It can be in your marriage, with your kids, in finances. You have to, sometimes if you're not looking for the miracles, you won't see them.
Boy, that's a great line. I know there was a discipline a few of us have really tried to work hard out of, just asking and answering, where have we seen God at work lately? You know, as you think about that, give me a near term, like, where have you seen God at work lately?
Yeah, I think a lot of the doors have opened up and my mindset's changed a lot at work. I know we're all probably in workplaces where there's certain lines you can't cross when it comes to faith. I feel like with my situation, I'm very fortunate to, I can kind of scream from the rooftops what Christ has done for me, and it has opened up the door. Early in my career, I looked at my faith as I'm going to walk into a building, I'm going to be positive, and maybe that'll open up a door. Maybe just being positive, maybe just having that Christian checking in on people. Well, now I feel like that opportunity is one step further of like actually spreading the gospel in your workplace. Don't just wait for someone to come to you, be active about it. And so I think I've had the opportunity where a lot of people have come up and just said like, how are you even wanting to come back to work? And this is other police officers saying, this ever happened, I would just, you know, that's my sign. Maybe I should call it, you know? And I think it opens up the door of, you know, God's got a plan for me and you follow that plan. And it's such a blessing that my wife has such a strong faith too, because there's not many spouses, I think, that would look at their husband. And from the moment I was in that hospital bed, we both looked at each other and she knew I wanted to go back to work, not to be some hero, not to do something here on earth, but to know that God has a plan. He's not done working through me and through our family, and so very thankful for that.
I think it was John Maxwell or someone like him who said, you know, if you're still breathing, God's not done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard a little bit of an echo of that with your recent interview, but you had a different phrase. What was it coming out of that? Because you and Hannah both shared, like, you had this sense, like, we're not finished yet.
Yeah, I was in, like, kind of a medically induced coma, I guess, for a period of time. And when I came out of it, the first thing I said to my wife was, the job's not finished. And that's a sentiment I think that still stands true. And that doesn't just look at law enforcement. What I would encourage any of you guys in any workplace that you're in, the amount of people that you can touch on a daily basis is tremendous. And you can touch them for Christ. So the other aspect I think that is very interesting with law enforcement, as you guys all know, everything's recorded. So every moment that I'm in law enforcement walking around, we're wearing a body cam and it's all recorded. If the body cam's not on, someone's probably got a video camera and videotaping it. Well, after the shooting, I had, you know, taken a couple months to kind of digest everything, and then finally got to the point where I wanted to watch my body cam and kind of work through some of that. And there was something that God gave me through that gave me so much peace that I didn't even remember, but it was after I got shot the multiple times, I actually went unconscious, and I specifically remember, I don't remember, but I specifically saw it in the body cam of just screaming out, like, God, help me. And for me, God helped me in that situation, and God has helped us recover. I think the physical side is the easy part for my wife and I. It's more the mental side of working through some of that. And so I guess my urge to you guys is, call upon his name. It doesn't have to be screaming out, God help me, right? But when we're in those dark moments, I'm very thankful that my parents kind of created that foundation where I knew he was in full control of the situation, even with chaos.
Yeah, as you're hearing that, I'm thinking of those Psalms that talk about crying out to God in our distress. Has there been a Bible verse that stood out to you in this season?
Yeah, the one that kind of has given me a lot of peace is, well done, good and faithful servant. I think a lot of us as Christians look at that one. And my situation, if you're not a Christian, I think a lot of the accolades that have come along, whether it's a Purple Heart or an award or those sort of things, maybe that's the conclusion. But for me, the end point is getting up to eternal life and looking at Christ and just hearing that, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the greatest thing that anything could ever happen. And so that's a Bible verse. And then a song that my best friend, he's a pastor down in the cities, sent me is "Though You Slay Me." I encourage you guys to write it down or look it up afterwards. It's very powerful because it's the idea of, Lord, though you slay me, though there's struggles that we're going to go through, I will worship you. I will call upon your name. And there were moments in the hospital bed where I would just sing it out loud because sometimes it doesn't register until you actually say the words. And so I'm just very grateful for a few of those things to kind of hold on to through the storm, because I'm standing up here now or sitting up here now and very able-bodied, and I'm very grateful. But there was a lot of moments where just it got dark. It got very dark, and Christ was that peace.
Yeah, and there's no promise it won't be dark again. Right? I mean, you and I shared how there's cycles to this.
Yeah.
You know, of highs and lows, and boy, this community sure loves you. Yeah. What were some of the ways you experienced the support of Fargo?
Yeah. Man, it was amazing. My wife and I were kind of in a bubble a little bit. If you guys remember kind of the July 14th incident, the community just wrapped around the police department wholeheartedly, but my wife and I, we didn't see it. I couldn't leave the hospital. She could leave the hospital. She didn't leave my side. She slept in a chair for 30 days straight, and she chose the chair because it was closer than the bed that they made for her over in the corner. I will say we just had a little baby, and I did not sleep in the chair, which was not, it was not good for my back. but I'm so grateful for that. I think with that being said, we didn't get to see that community support, right? A lot of the other officers, though, were so positively impacted by that, because whether it was the celebration of life or the funeral or people just setting up a memorial right where the shooting happened, it felt like in that moment, very similar to 9/11, everybody just wanted to do something. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to do it, but they wanted to do something. There was another officer at the police department that actually set up like a leadership care fund, it was called.
Oh, sure.
And it was something he just did on his own. And it was kind of a rapid succession of making that happen. But that was another example of kind of as we were going through recovery, they set up this leadership care fund, and it just allowed the community to just pour financial help for the police department, for us going through it and those sort of things. And I think that was a realization for me that there's like so many people that this touched, and people just want to help. A lot of times they just don't know how.
Yeah. What are some of the ways the community, or let's go this direction. What do you wish for our community to know about law enforcement these days? You know, I'd ask you, like, what do you hope we know about your job? Because it is in one sense, it's very public, but you guys, all of you officers I meet, you're there to serve. Yeah. You're not there to get the attention.
Yeah.
What do you wish we knew?
Yeah, the idea of service, I mean, if anyone was in law enforcement for the paycheck, I think you would burn out in about 2 years and move on to something different. A Walmart manager probably makes what we make. So that's that reality of it. No one's in it for the money. What kind of stood out to me a little bit as you were saying that is the idea of, if you're a believer, you know the end goal. You know you're working towards bringing other people to Christ and eternal life with Christ. But what I see with a lot of police officers that maybe aren't Christians is they're searching for that, and law enforcement sometimes fills that gap. But it's a temporary fill, right? It's the idea of being able to like make a difference, make an impact, touch people's lives. And I think if you're not a Christian, you're looking at, what can I do here on earth to touch people, to make a difference, any of those sort of things. And so I think every law enforcement officer has that same mentality. They want to make that impact. It's just trying to figure out what is the end goal? Where are you trying to get to? And I encourage any of you guys, just do a ride along, right? Or if you see a police officer, just check.
If you're 18 or older.
18 or older, yeah, that's a good call. No 12-year-olds, please. I'll get fired if I do that again. Yeah.
And bring your cell phone, says Frank.
There it is. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah.
No, that's great. It's, I heard when you say that too, there's something about humanity, created in the image of God, that there's something in us that wants to bring order to the chaos of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of ways, law enforcement offers that. Can you speak to your relationship with like fire and EMS and those guys? I mean, there seemed to be a real drawing together following 2023.
Yeah, I think it's just the idea of it's a family. You look at, you know, fire, EMS, police department, it's this idea of when everyone is running away from the area, it's this group of people that run towards it. That I got into law enforcement, and a lot of people got into fire and EMS for these moments. We didn't get into doing shoplifting reports. That's not why I'm a police officer, right? That's part of the job. But I got into it that when the public needs us, when it's service, serve and protect, we get to serve constantly. Well, in this situation with the July 14th, God put a few of us in a position where we could protect on a scale that we don't really know the gravity of it, right? With him going down to the street fair. But I think that's where you get the bond with a lot of the people in those roles, because we all have that same mindset of like, you put yourself, your desires, the selfishness to the side, and it's where can you help? Where can you be an assistant? And that's where I think the fire department on scene really people didn't understand the gravity of the danger that they were in. Their fire truck got shot, one of the tires got hit, and they don't have any guns. They don't even have armor at that point. But you can see them on the body cam running towards us as the gunfire is still happening. And that's the idea that I want people to know when it comes to public servants in that area, is it's like they're going to do that every time. Every time they'll do it.
Yeah, for me, it's really created a heart for this group of people. You know, when everyone else runs away, they're running toward. Yeah. And wow, we're just so grateful for you and for those you represent. Would you be okay if we took some questions?
Yeah.
In a little bit? I know there are some people here that have some, they often like to ask questions, and I think that'd be really good. I know for me, one of the things as I was watching you and you know, getting to know you and Hannah a little bit, is just how God's word that says we know that all things work together for those who love Jesus and who've been called according to his purpose. We're watching that unfold. Like, if you have eyes to see, friends, open them up. Here we go. And I really admire you guys for your season of quiet and thoughtfulness. And it seems like that season has shifted and you're getting opportunities. What was it like when CBS News called?
Yeah, that's a hard one, especially a lot of you guys probably saw in the national news. CBS did an article on the ambush and kind of everything that happened. My mindset has shifted so much on that, because when I got into law enforcement, I wanted to go under the radar. My goal was to work an entire career and nobody at the PD knows my name. Unfortunately, they know my name at this point. And what I've realized is God's put my family in that position to, like I said earlier, point things back to Christ. And that's what's encouraged me to do things like this or do a CBS interview, because you have the platform now. It's maybe a platform that I never wanted, never really desired, but I can just see I want God to work through me, and I want the words. That was my prayer before coming up here, is I want these not to be my words, but his words, and touch someone that maybe is going through struggle, because we're all in it, right? You had mentioned it earlier. The struggle doesn't go away. We're in a fallen world. We're in an evil world. We saw that yesterday, 9/11, all of those things. And so it's just making sure that we are centered and we find our peace in Christ. What I'll say, and hopefully this resonates with some of you guys, is the most peaceful and closest I've ever felt to Christ was sitting in the hospital bed when everything was quiet, when my wife had fallen asleep, when all the nurses walked away and there was just the beep of the machines. It's the closest that I ever felt to Christ, because there was nothing else. I couldn't rely on myself anymore. I found so much peace as a father, being a protector. I was in the military. I was a police officer. Like, I'll protect my family. Well, I couldn't anymore. That was taken away. And so the peace upon calling upon his name is just overwhelming in those moments when there's no one else. There's nothing in this world that can give you peace at that point.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Kim, would you mind running a microphone for me? And if somebody has a question, I would just ask that you keep your question direct and brief, and then we'll let Andrew respond. And Andrew, as we wait for that, I just want to affirm you. Thank you for being willing to take on that mantle of responsibility and steward this moment well, because I see that in you.
Well, Andrew, I don't have a question, but I have an observation for you. Grandson just moved down here from from northern North Dakota. Small town. He's at your school. He was sitting alone at lunch, and you came over and sat down. Excuse me. You came over and sat down and talked to him. And he had no friends. You spent the lunchtime with him just talking to him. You have no idea the positive impact of that action. Thank you, and God bless you.
Wow. Thanks, sir.
Hi, how can we best pray for law enforcement in our area?
That's a great question. I think we all know the power of prayer, especially as Christians. I think sometimes it can get overwhelming of like, how do you pray for everybody, all of law enforcement? I think the idea is to more pray for peace as they go into chaotic situations. The reality is we can see in our world the chaotic situations, they aren't going away. They're increasing. I can tell you from when I was a brand new officer 9 years ago, we would maybe have a stabbing or shooting here in Fargo once a month. And it was a rare occurrence. It's weekly now that stuff is happening. And so I think pray for peace for those officers. And then I think what a lot of people don't think about is the life after law enforcement, right? When you're in it, you're able to kind of keep stepping forward and just saying like, I'm going to go to the next call. What a lot of people don't digest is what happens when you retire and everything is silent. If you don't have that faith, that's where things, the noises, the visions, everything that you saw, that can be pretty hard. So I think just that peace, and I think just praying that something in their life, if they aren't a Christian, can impact them as well. That's a great question. Thank you.
Quick question for you. I know your faith was strong before this happened. Can you tell us about your faith as a youth and how you happen to have that early faith?
Yeah, I love to talk about this one because my dad was instrumental in my faith and my mom, but I think my dad just really took the initiative. I mean, there was times, if many of you guys have heard of Bible Study Fellowship, it's here. There is one here in Fargo as well, but there was one down in the cities. And I remember every Monday for 12 years, he brought me to Bible Study Fellowship. And there were times I would lock myself in the bathroom and say, Dad, I'm sick. I can't go. And he would say, like, we're going. And he'd come get me and we'd go out. But there's one distinct memory that I have of those moments with my dad was whether we were frustrated, whether I missed a baseball practice, anything like that. We always walked out of Bible Study Fellowship all smiling. And that's the memory I have of my faith. And I urge you as parents or as grandparents, like put that time in, invest, because the foundation that created for me was when my whole life crumbled, that foundation was still rock solid. And there were little things that my dad did when afterwards we would go to Super America and he would get me a 99-cent candy bar. But that just enhanced the idea of like a parent being there and pushing you in the right direction. So that way when my dad isn't there anymore, that direction's already set and the trajectory's already set. You can't choose faith for your kids, but you can set them on the right path. And that's been an encouragement to me, especially with my kids as well. Thank you for that question.
So I'm gonna ask a question that I'd like you to think about. You know, you have a group of people here, they're here to hear your story and your faith journey and what happened and all of that. But you know, Andrew, everybody's at different places. And as these people walk out of here today, what's the one thing that you think that you can bring to them? You know, you have your faith in Christ, you have your incident, but what is the one thing that you're like, yeah, I think you could wrap your head around this and it might change the trajectory of your life?
Yeah, that's a powerful question. I would pray first and foremost for the guidance of who needs to be touched. I think sometimes if we're trying to do it on our own, it can get overwhelming, whether it's a workplace, whether you're in a bank, whether you're at a church, whether you're at a police department, it can get overwhelming when we see unbelievers. And as Christians, we have this longing to bring people in. And the idea that unbelief, when you're an unbeliever, you'll have moments of happiness in your life. And I think we can all attest to that. But when you're talking about true faith in Christ, it's a deep joy that can't come from this world. And so praying for how do you bring that joy to people? Because a lot of times we get overwhelmed as Christians that it's us, that we have to bring others to Christ. It's Christ working through us and reminding ourselves that maybe it will take someone a year or 2 years to come to Christ, but just showing that joy that Christ has given us, that I think is the biggest thing that people can walk out of here with. Thank you for the question.
Andrew, I want to pause for just a second. There was a little bit of a holy moment there. I don't know if you felt it a little bit ago when the question slowed down. And you can almost, I mean, maybe I'm overstating this, but you can sense the gravity of it. Like, we all lived that 2 years ago, and we are living what's happening now. I want to read this scripture and then just invite God to speak to us in so many ways, and then conclude our time by praying for you. I didn't tell you this. Tyrell's a friend of yours, right? So we won't always do this, but next month we're going back to blue again.
I love it.
Tyrell Foskey is my neighbor, and he has a similar story of God's faithfulness. And so I'm going to invite him back. So if you're thinking, okay, this was fun, we're going to do it again, okay? It won't always be police officers, but they said yes. So here we are.
And I don't want to speak this too highly, but he is a mentor to me. After the shooting, I remember going over to his place and not to get too into the details, but I mean, he's gone through continual struggle after struggle. And you talk about joy. He wouldn't stop asking questions about me. He didn't even give me a chance to ask how he was doing in all of that. So you guys are in for a treat. I'll be here. Even if I'm working, I'll find a way to get out of it.
You can come in uniform.
Yeah, we'll see. Davies needs me.
We'll know who you are. Friends, listen to these words from John. At the end of the book, he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Friends, if you are in Christ, you have a great hope. If you have not yet trusted Christ, today's a great day to lean into him and to cry out to him in your day of need. Let's pray together as we conclude this time. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments that we've been able to share. Lord, thank you for your kindness in giving Andrew and Hannah a platform, and giving them the joy of children, and giving them an opportunity to give glory to you. Father, we don't get to choose so many parts of our path, but we can choose how we respond. And today, Lord, I want to be one of those who reminds others in gratitude that there is a day coming when every tear will be wiped from our eyes. It's hard for us to imagine a day where death isn't at our door, where crying and mourning and pain will be no more. But God, you tell us that that day is coming. So we pray, Lord, as Andrew has encouraged us, for peace in our community, for peace in our country, for peace in the world. It seems like an impossible thing. And Lord, we know that you're the God of the possible, the God of the impossible. And we thank you, God, for the peace that we can have through Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins when we entrust ourselves to him. Lord, would you go before Andrew and Hannah and bless them, give them favor, and in those days when things start to feel dark, I pray that your light would shine bright. Lord, help us to be a community that celebrates the miracles around us and that encourages others to rejoice at God's goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, thank you for coming this month. We'll be back the second Thursday of every month. We'll see you in October.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Power Lunch. While hosted by Bethel Church, the Power Lunch is sponsored by Area Professionals. We'd love to have you join us. Learn more about our next upcoming Power Lunch at BethelFC.com/powerlunch.
FM Power Lunch. Learn about your faith in the workplace.